Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, brother.
Certainly good to see everybody's face tonight. The Lord's bless us with a good day. And I know it's been warm, but it's been a good day for the Lord. It's been, it seems like it's been a good, peaceful day. And certainly glad to see each and everyone here and appreciate everyone coming out. And I want to welcome those in the parking lot and those, however they might be listening on Facebook or the internet. So I wonder if anybody had anything to do for the Lord. Testimony or anything? I'd like to ask Brother Buford if he would lead us in a song.
Thank you.
Boy, ain't that the truth. Thank you, Buford. Two good songs. Two real good songs. Amen to that. I feel like we need to go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know about you all, but I need your prayers. And I believe we need each other's prayers.
Amen.
Our church needs prayers. Our nation needs prayers. So does anybody have a prayer request? Bless you, Paul. Bless you, Donna. Bless you, Willard. Miss Anna. Bless you, Vicky. Bless you, Larry. Bless you, Dave. Bless you, Miss Martha. Martha. Bless you, Lord. Smell it out. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Captain. Bless you, Miss Jimmy. Just remember, Sammy, I miss him. I miss my daddy. Amen. Bless you, Dad. Bless you. Yes, it is. Have any unspoken? Any in the parking lot? Everyone would like to gather around the altar, please. Thank you.
bless you, Lord, for all our thanks and giving us and praise. We pray for our new church, Leo John, Lord.
Amen.
Lord's put some scripture on my heart. Nehemiah chapter 2. I love it. I love them all. It just seems like that certain seasons of our life, some of them have a tendency to have more of a meaning. The Lord uses them more than other times. But I want to thank Brother Buford again, as he was teaching this morning. Lord put this on my mind and my heart, and I thought I might wait till Wednesday. It'd be the Lord's will, and we're still here. But Lord asked me to share it with you this evening. And of course, you all know the story of Nehemiah. He's been burdened for Jerusalem, and he's been went to the king, and King provided him with building materials and funds, and he's gone to Jerusalem. And in chapter 2 here, he goes out at night and surveys the city and looks at the damage, and just making an assessment of everything. And I'm sure he's going to God and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Guide me in this. But we'll begin in verse 17, Nehemiah chapter 2. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said to them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Satan ain't got no business in here. None whatsoever. It ain't nothing that even pertains to him. I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord, if that be all right, and show you the way that the Lord put this in my mind. And I thought about these people as they were beginning this work. Now, it took all kinds of people. It took some people to dig out the rubbish and dig out the stone. It took people to mix the mud so they could put the stone back. It took people, I'm sure that some of the stones had to be reshaped and stuff. It took woodworkers to set the posts and stuff up. And of course, we know eventually it even took some of them keeping guard to keep the enemy out. And it even took, somebody had to cook and feed them. You know, so it took all kinds of people, but they all had one mind, a mind to work. And here's what the Lord showed me. I've got a bucket here. Can you see this bucket? Right now it's empty. But I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to ask, Brother Buford, would you put me some mud in this bucket? They sent me down here to get some mud to carry back for them building on the wall. And I know you're a good mud maker. And we need the best. And then he showed me taking this bucket And, you know, the journey was pretty good, a little patient. I got pretty hungry. Honey, would you fix me one of them biscuits?
Hallelujah.
Would you fix me one of them so I can have just a little bit? And Lou, would you cut that tomato that you brought and put a slice of tomato on that biscuit? And I'm going to go back and take this mud to those guys that's building that wall. So I'm going to go back. Brother, you look weary and tired. And you look like you've been working a lot harder than I am.
Hallelujah.
Take this biscuit. Take that biscuit, brother.
You
need it more than I do.
Hallelujah.
I'll be okay.
I love you. Hallelujah.
And I don't care what the devil thinks. I don't care if he thinks I'm nuts or whatever. I don't care. I don't know how much time I got here. I might have less time than anybody here. But I want my last days to be obedient to God and His will and do what He thinks. I don't care what. If He tells me to crawl out that door, I want to be willing and be a servant to be able to do that. I love you guys. Listen, we all don't have the same abilities or gifts or anything, but we got to work together. Now more than ever, we got to bind together in love. You know what's going to happen? God's going to prosper us. He's going to want to be the one to build it up. And I want people to know that they can come to Lick Creek Valley House of Prayer and feel the Lord and feel His Spirit. But you know what I want them to recognize most of all? God's here.
Amen.
His Holy Spirit's here. His Son's just waiting at the right hand of God to say, Father, have mercy on that one. They need it. Father, that one's been sick and hurting. Would you help them? That's what I want them to recognize more than anything else in this world, that God is here and that we love Him and we love them. It don't matter who they are. God loves everybody. And I'm telling you one thing. Brother Sammy said this morning, you know, he was so grateful that the Lord saved a sinner like him. Well, if He can save me, everybody's got hope. Everybody has hope. But that's what the Lord put on my heart, and I just wanted to share that for you. And I hope encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. I think about you guys every day. I'm not just saying that to pump myself up. I think about you guys every day. If we could tell, me and Pat could tell what we had for six long years, wanting to feel God's Spirit and wanting to feel that people loved us and cared about us and at least liked us a little bit.
Amen, brother.
That went on for six years.
God.
Oh, I tell you what, I thank God every day that the Lord sent us back home. I'm so grateful for that. And get to hear good Sunday school teaching. And Sammy opening up and filling with the Spirit. That blesses my heart. Good singing. Just a good, godly spirit. Testimonies. I tell you what, guys. You don't know what your testimony does for me. It's a blessing. It truly is a blessing. So I hope maybe that we can help you and encourage you just a little bit. And it's my prayer that Satan... God gives you whatever you might need through this coming week to overcome Satan and what he might try to put against you. And I'm going to hold on to the Lord and I'm going to trust Him. I probably couldn't do a cartwheel, but I tell you one thing, I feel like I could. God is good. He's truly good. Does anyone have anything to do for the Lord? I believe Brother Paul does.
Well, I know what you mean now, brother. I tell you, I feel you carrying that bucket and that biscuit and that mater. Something got a hold of me. But David said, I feel like I could run through a tree. That's the way the Lord is when you... When His hand's up on you, He gives you strength and help and power. And they got to the place down there. They tried to get Nehemiah and them to come down into a valley called Omer. And He told them, they sent word for him to come down. And He said, you tell them that I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And in that same scripture there, he done There was some of them that worked on the wall, and there was others that guarded them while they were working. They didn't have to worry about the work they were doing because somebody had their back. Watch this sound like the church done. And if that ain't the way it's supposed to be, I don't know what is. I believe the Lord's got everything that we need in this blessed old room.
Amen.
And it's amazing how that he got up and went down there that night. And he surveyed the place and looked and seen what the need was, where they needed to start, what they needed to do. And that's what I'm going to talk to you tonight about. You'll turn your Bibles to Exodus in the 12th chapter. I got two verses there, and then we're going to the Gospel of Matthew. And I pray the Lord to help me tie this together. And here's what I want you to get on your heart tonight, and on your mind, in your spirit. Is this right here. Jesus can get bigger than the storm. Jesus can get bigger than the night. Now pay attention. Exodus chapter 12. Verse number 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the captive. Now jump over to verse number 42. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. You may be seated. So it's kindly like that Nehemiah went out there by night to look to see what needed to be done. And it kindly looks like right here that after 430 years of the people of God being in bondage, God went down there at midnight and smote the firstborn. Now prior to that, thank you brother, prior to that, in the preparation of that, God had told the man, he said, now you tell everybody that belongs to me, you tell them to slay a lamb and take the blood and put it on the post and on the mantle. He said, and when that death angel comes down, he's going to pass over, and there'll not be a death in that house. I mean, but those that didn't have the blood applied, there was death in that house. I mean, there was a lot of death down there in the house. But now, I want you to turn over here to Matthew, something that I've seen that I want to share with you tonight. And we've read it, we've preached it for years, but I saw it in a different way today that maybe the Lord will be a blessing and a help to you. But right here in the 14th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, we see here a time and a day that there was a man, his name was Herod. He was he had heard of the fame of Jesus, and one particular day, it happened to be his birthday, and brother, there was a damsel there that danced, and it pleased him, and he told her she could have anything that she wanted. But listen, evidently, prior to that, dancing made the king happy. Dancing made Herod do things that maybe he wouldn't normally do. Dancing put him in a place that he done things that he was sorry that he done. But anyway, when she danced, it pleased him, and he said, "Ask me anything
anything that you would have, I'll give it to you. And her mama had already told her she wanted John Baptist's head in a charger. And he sent, had him beheaded. And the Bible said, and Jesus went up, or the disciples got the corpse of the body and took it. And Jesus went up yonder in the mountain. Now stay with me tonight. I want you to look with me tonight here in chapter number 14. And we'll see here, I mean, it's amazing tonight, guys. Jesus told his disciples to go on to a place, and he'd come a little bit later. And the Bible said that he went up into a mountain apart, but when he seen the multitude that followed on foot, he had compassion on them. And the Bible said that he turned to them and didn't want them to leave without eating. And he told the disciples that he said to feed them. And they didn't have nothing, just five fish and two bread. But God took, Jesus took it and blessed it and fed the multitude, 12 baskets they took up that was full that remaineth, but they all left. They didn't leave hungry, but let's go on tonight. And now right here, let's pick up in verse number 22. Now listen, he said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples had to get into a ship, had to go before him unto the other side, and while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, O thou little faith, what dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And now listen, that's all I want to read tonight. And the Bible said, now you think about this. Brother, the Bible, I believe there they was in that boat, in that ship, and the wind was contrary unto them. What that means is it was hard to travel. It was difficult. It was a difficult time to travel because the wind was giving them trouble. And notice tonight at the fourth watch of the night, I believe as we look at this from 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, and you look at this and you think about Brother down there in Egypt at midnight, Brother God said, that's when death was pronounced. That's when God sent an intervention down there to get the people of God, Brother, out of bondage. Now listen, I believe it was 600,000 footmen, and not counting the women and the children, and Brother, that they were leaving Egypt. Now if this took place at midnight, and Brother, and you take 600,000 people that were leaving Egypt, wouldn't you imagine it was in the fourth watch of the night? Wouldn't you imagine that by the time they got the thing that they borrowed from them and got favor with them and they gave them, maybe it was the fourth watch of the night. But look here tonight, if you will. Here Jesus is, Brother, sending his disciples to go to the other side. Just like me and you, when the Lord saved us, he said, we're going to the other side. There'll be times that the wind is boisterous. There'll be times that, Brother, it's difficult to travel. But I want you to always remember this. Jesus at times gets bigger than the storm. Now think about it. There they were in that boat, and it was a rocking and doing what all kind of shape it was in. But Brother, all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. brother, walking on the water, and they had difficulty recognizing him. But when Peter realized it was the Lord, he said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." And brother, the Bible said when Peter stepped down out of the boat, he walked on the water. And brother, I want you to know tonight, there was a time right here, right in the middle of the storm, Peter walked on the water. I mean, we don't talk a whole lot about that, but there was a time right here in the journey and in the travel, Jesus got bigger than the storm. The storm was still there. It hadn't quieted down yet, because the Bible said when Peter saw the wind, boasted, that's what caused him to go down. Think about it tonight. 430 years of being in bondage down there, no way out, and brother, just slavery, just like you was and I was, a slave to sin. We done whatever the devil said. I mean, to some of us was a whole lot worse than others. Some of us was deeper in sin than others, but I'll assure you tonight, brother, one day in the fourth watch of the night, he come for us. He come to get us. What does that mean? I tell you what I believe it means. Brother, at midnight, brother, the death angel came and pronounced death upon Pharaoh's son and the male of the firstborn. God put a stop to it for just a little bit. But it wasn't long when they left there. Brother, he took 600 chariots, I believe it was, to go after 600,000. Minus the women and children. Hey, it ain't long after you get born again, saved by the grace of God, that devil will send a troop after you. He'll send somebody after you to try to bring you back and to bring you down. But let me tell you tonight, beloved, in the storms of life, when Jesus gets bigger than the storm, we can walk on the water. What does that mean tonight? I believe it means just right here. Jesus gives us the ability to go through the storm, to go through the battles, and face the things that we face every day, simply because Jesus can get bigger than the storm. Think about this tonight. The Bible don't say the storm was over. He don't say the storm was over until they get back in the boat. But ain't it amazing tonight that Peter recognized Jesus? He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." And the Bible said that Jesus said, "Well, come on, Peter." And the Bible, and the wind surely was still blowing, because that's what got him to go down. Surely the storm was still there, because that's what began him to go down. But I like this part. When he got out of the boat, he walked on the water. It didn't say nothing about the wind. It didn't say nothing about the storm. But when Peter saw the wind, that's what caused him to go down. That's what caused him to begin to sink, because the wind was boisterous. But thank God tonight, there's times in mine in your life that Jesus gets bigger than the storm. Think about it tonight. Everybody has storms in their life. Buck's going through a storm. Ashley's going through a storm. You that have lost loved ones are going through a storm at times in your life. But ain't you glad tonight that in the fourth watch of the night, he won't leave us. He'll always come and help us and give us that we need, the fourth watch of the night. I'll tell you tonight, boys, when the night seems so long and they seem so lonely, I just look to Jesus. That can get bigger than the storms. These people in the Word of God that I believe had great storms in their life. Abraham, when he took Isaac to the mountain, somehow or another, he believed God. You know what I believe he said? My God's bigger than this storm. Joseph, when his brothers throwed him down in the pit and sold him out down the river, somewhere down inside that man, I believe he realized that God was bigger than the storm. storm he was entering into. But down at the end of that thing, I believe tonight, the storm that we go through, it makes us stronger. It gives us, God said, be of good courage. It is I. You read the Bible in Moses' writing, in all the old patriarchs of God. God always says, be of good courage. He says, I'm here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go all the way with you, even to the end of the world. And thank God tonight there's times in mine and your life that Jesus can get bigger than the storms. Who in their right mind would have got out of a boat and the wind blowing like it was? Who thinking like a man or like an individual would have got out of a boat with the wind blowing like it was? I probably wouldn't have. I remember a day up in Maine when we was out there, and we was out in international water. And my brother-in-law, he's had a boat all of his life, and he knows how to read the wind, and he knows how to turn the boat at the right time, how to get headed in the right way. But I remember one day and one time up there when fog fell and I couldn't see nothing. You couldn't see as far as from here to Buford, and that wind was that might have been the boy. In that time, but the wind was a-blowing. I was hanging on to the sides of that boat. Anything I could get a hold of, scared to death. Ain't no way in the world I'd have stepped out of that boat on the water. But Peter did. He said, be of a good courage. He said, yeah, Peter, it's me. Come on, son. And the Bible said, Peter walked on the water. Why is that? It's because Jesus got bigger than the storm. There'd been many a times in my life, times maybe even we could say maybe now that we're in, we'll either walk on the water or we'll sink. There'll be times in the child of God's life, they'll either walk on the water and surely we'll begin to sink. A lot of times say, Lord, save me, and he'll reach down immediately, he'll set us back on the boat. But God help each and every one of us to realize Jesus is bigger than the storm. Jesus can get bigger than the wind. Hey, out there tonight, Ashley, thank God she's back in the church with us. How many times, boys, when you felt like you're going down, I believe you can persevere and realize, hey, weeping may endure but for a night, but joys are coming in the morning. There'll be storms in our lives, but thank God tonight, realize Jesus is bigger than the storm. Why would he go to him in the fourth watch of the night? Why did he wait that long? Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. They had told and they had rowed and they tried everything they know how, no doubt. But Jesus said, I've got this. And they come down there, guys. It just behooves me. When they got down there, the storm was it was rough. It was rough out there in that water. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And amidst all that wind and all that was going on, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, would you bid me to come to you? Come on, Peter. The wind never ceased till Jesus got in the boat. The wind will never die down. The wind will never cease till Jesus takes control. Jesus is in control of this ship, the old ship of Zion. Like Brother Gene said, that's why we pray and beg and plead for people to come and be able to build their house and build their spiritual house and build their life and build their families down at the house of God, and tell them that it all ain't going to be a bed of roses. There'll be storms in your life. But God help each and every one of us to realize that Jesus is bigger than the storm. I read all the through the Bible, Job said, she said, curse God and die, you've had enough. He said, honey, God's bigger than this storm we're in. And Job's latter end was better than the beginning. All through the Word of God, you'll see where people recognize the greatness and the bigness of God right in the midst of the storm. The old song we sang, he's in the midst of the storm. He'll be there. He'll be there. We just got to recognize him, say, Jesus, please help me tonight. Please help me. The storm is a raging. Lord, please help me. And I believe tonight Jesus will get bigger than the wind and the storm. Throughout all this, I mean, you know, I think what it says, 29, and he said, come on, come, Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now listen. I've heard different steps that he took and how far he went. I don't know how far he went. It don't make no difference to me. The only thing I know is tonight he walked on water. Whether he took 10 steps, 5 steps, 25 steps, 2 steps, 3 steps, however long he walked, it was recorded in the Word of God that he walked on water. And when the wind got bigger than him, and when the wind got boisterous and everything, he began to go down. But I'll assure you tonight, Jesus ain't never sunk. He ain't never went down. He'll not go down. They tried to drown him. They tried to burn him. They tried to do everything to him. But I'll tell you tonight, he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And praise God, he'll come again. And not to be crucified, but to get what he purchased. And thank God tonight, that'll be a night never to be forgotten. When's he coming? He's coming at midnight. What do you mean coming at midnight? Midnight darkness represents sin. It was so dark in Egypt, the Bible said you could feel it. It's about to get dark, ain't it? It's bad dark out there. But I'm glad tonight we're the children of light. We don't walk in the darkness, we walk in light. Because that man, that God's Son himself has introduced himself to us, and for he is the light. And you know what? He done something in your life and done something in my life. I've had storms, you've had storms, we've all been through things, Bill, but I'll guarantee you, God's Son is bigger than any storm we'll ever be in. Walk on the water. Walk on the water. That people have never done that. They tried to do it for years and years and years. It ain't never happened. But one time that I know of, my brother Peter walked on the water. The Lord led me one of these days. I may ask him, how'd that feel? You know what he'll tell me? I don't really know. I had my eyes on Jesus. I don't really know. I couldn't tell you if the wind was blowing. I couldn't tell you if the waves is 40 feet high, 2 feet high, 1 feet high. The only thing I know is I was headed toward Jesus. When you're right in the middle of that storm, people say, how you doing it? Where you going? Say, how you making it, Geneva? How you getting there? Say, I ain't got a clue. Only thing is I know I'm going to Jesus. You know what happened? They got back in the boat. They got to the other side. Different occasions while they bring their sick people to them. Just waiting for Jesus to touch them. People out there you know right now is in the storm of their life. We're praying to God that they're trying to go to Jesus. Trying to find the Lord. Trying to get to Jesus. Well, I'll assure you tonight, you read in the Bible anywhere you want to read. Nehemiah, God got bigger than the problem. They threatened them and told them to quit and laughed at them and told them a fox run through there, they'd go down. They ridiculed everything else. Somewhere deep down inside their heart was a burning saying, my God's bigger than this. My God's bigger than this storm. You remember growing up, and I'm going to try to close. Things really changed over the years. But I remember when I was growing up and I was home, when it started thundering and lightning, Mom and Dad make us sit down and be quiet. You sit down on the bar. Anybody else have to do that? It stormed. They said, you get over and sit down and you be quiet. There wasn't no jokes about God playing bowling ball and stuff like that. There was a reverence there. There was a fear there. But somehow through it all, my daddy, bless his heart, he'd take that old hoe and that old wore-out shovel. He'd clean them ditches out. He liked to see that water run smooth. I don't know this water about him. He always kept them ditches cleaned out after a good hard rain. That's the way it is in our life. The hard rains and the storms and things we go, it just cleans the ditches out sometimes so the water will flow more freely. That's all right, ain't it? Me and my brother, we used to take Prince Albert cans and race them right behind him. Or anything that would float, we'd race them down the little branch. He'd get hung up down there somewhere. We'd wait. Daddy cleaned it out. I'm going to tell you something tonight, guys. You may get clogged up along the way. The wind might blow along you along the way. God will clean it out. If he gets you to it, he'll bring you through it. If there's a mountain in front of you, God will help you across it. You know why? Because Jesus is bigger than the storm. Peter said, Lord, if that be you bid me to come. Well, come on, Peter. Peter walked on the water. Don't say a word. Don't say a thing about the wind. Until the next verse. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Then here come the wind. It's the way our life is, ain't it? Sometimes we feel like we're doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, here come a puff of wind. Next thing you know, we feel like we're going down. That's why I like this. Damsel, Peter reached out his hand, picked her up. Jesus reached down his hand, picked him up. Don't worry, honey. You might be in a storm. You may feel like you're going down. But I promise you, Jesus is bigger than the storm. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. If you're out there tonight, don't have anywhere to go, we'd love you to come be with us now, Lick Rick. The only book we got down here is the Bible. We preach out of the Bible. We teach Sunday school out of the Bible. And we don't have any other thing to go by other than this. It's the only thing I know that'll work. And if you're looking for somewhere to go and hear the Word of God taught and preached, and somebody get enough courage to take a bucket that you can't even see and tell us he's got one, I seen it, didn't you? I seen the bucket, the biscuit, and the mater. And he's willing to give it to me. Boy, don't that sound like Jesus? He took up 12 baskets full after that I'll eat. And said, all right, boys, let's go to the other side. You're going to learn something on this little journey. And I hope you learn that I'm bigger than any storm you'll ever face. Anything tonight before we pray, before we dismiss in prayer, what a book. Bless your heart, Gabby. She told me this morning her hut was a burning. And it was an answer to prayer. You have to pray for me. Kathy's gonna go to work for me up the nursing home next Monday. Not tomorrow, but next Monday. You pray that we can be a light up there. Can't get nobody to help. Nobody won't work no more. But I know one thing. If your loved one was in a nursing home, you'd want somebody to help keep the place clean, wouldn't you? Some little old jackdaws like me over it. I don't know what the Lord's doing. But he's a big God, ain't he? All hearts and minds clear. Brother Donnie, you dismiss us in prayer, will you, buddy? grant it, Lord.